Also, we were in slavery until the time set by the Father, and now we are heirs along with Christ. When we label this sort of, Paul pleads with them to cling to the true gospel, I think what he's trying to tell them, and he goes on to say that later in the passage we read, what are you doing, giving that up? Is it a problem that you didn't recognize what was given to you in the first place, or are you just forgetting how valuable it is?
Welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we continue our series on the book of Galatians, and we're learning what it means to have freedom in Christ. If you missed any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Galatians in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your social media favorite in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Galatians 4, 1 through 20. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than the slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are the children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Paul's concern for the Galatians. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I was an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joy and grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right, but let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I can change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 20.
Okay. So what's the message? It was long. What's the message?
Don't fall victim to what those around you are preaching mm-hmm. and believe their lies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all children of God through our faith.
Mm-hmm.
To accept the gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not slaves.
How about this analogy that he did in the front end of that passage, that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, even though he owns the whole estate. He's subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, we were in slavery until the time set by the Father, and now we are heirs along with Christ. When we label this sort of, Paul pleads with them to cling to the true gospel, I think what he's trying to tell them, and he goes on to say that later in the passage we read, what are you doing, giving that up? Is it a problem that you didn't recognize what was given to you in the first place, or are you just forgetting how valuable it is? That's what he's doing in chapter 4. And then he goes on to talk about Hagar and Sarah, and also it's about the promise. Really, he's saying, have you forgotten how valuable that is? Does that ever happen to you guys, where you're just walking forward in your Christian experience and you forget how valuable your salvation is, what God has done? Does it ever become matter of fact to you?
As in, we take it for granted?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
it's not the treadmill experience. It is similar to the treadmill. You just keep on moving through it and you're not even thinking about putting any work into it. You're not increasing the treadmill. You are not making it go faster. You're just going steady as you are. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, you're not changing. You're just on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens very easily because we get so distracted by all of the things that are pulling our attention away from him.
I have to tell you that I've been guilty on this more than one occasion, becoming very connected to my sanctification process. So let's talk about sanctification. Sanctification is God working in me to make me more like his son by teaching me his ways and his will through his word, through his people, through the church, through the Holy Spirit. He's making me better. That's what sanctification is. And sometimes I get so focused on my sanctification process that I forget my salvation experience. And what do I mean by that? Do I forget that I'm saved? No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is I forget the miraculousness of my salvation and how valuable that is. Because once I start working on my sanctification process, I feel like I'm part of that. And then I feel like I'm doing good. I'm like, oh, I'm a good Christian. I was a good Christian today. I did a good Christian thing. I got a ministry. I'm doing a thing. You know, like I can be feeling good about. And then, of course, as he should, God lays me low and he's like, you can do nothing apart from me. And then I remember my salvation and how I'm such a mess. No matter how good I think I'm doing, my heart is still black. I don't want to even say it's anything
You've
but that.
Hard.
And yeah, I'm bad mess. And that's what I think he's getting at here. I can't say that it's the exact same thing because I don't think the Galatians were as mature in their faith as what I'm describing to you, my experiences, but the truth of it is the truth of it. And that I will say that that has happened to me all along my spiritual journey. Like I get to feeling like I'm doing a good job. And then I forget that it's not by my work that I have a relationship with God. It's not by my obedience. It's not, I mean, my obedience matters in how I experience my relationship with God. But it's not because of my obedience that I have a relationship with God. You understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to misspeak there because obedience matters. But I do forget that it's not because I have my quiet time. It's not because I did my prayers right. It's not because of anything I'm doing. We love him because he loved us first. And I think that's what Paul's getting at. He's like, guys, this is valuable. You are abandoning it and you're going to be lost forever if you forget the most fundamental part of what's happening. And he's building to what I think is the core of this book, which is Galatians 5:1. But before we go there, does anybody want to say anything about verse 16 that Andrea just read? Because I want to just lift that out a teeny itty bitty. He says, in my translation, Paul says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Does anybody have a resounding experience there? Have you been the truth teller and been rejected? Or have you been told the truth and rejected it from someone who you know loves you, but you don't hear what they have to say? Has that ever happened to you?
When you asked that question, I remember when my sister first brought salvation to me or the opportunity for salvation, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And I rejected her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking, she wasn't my enemy. But I was like, whatever,
mm-hmm.
You are so out there. But thank God for her because she's been an amazing discipler of mine. So I guess that's where I remember that. And I'm so thankful that she was persistent. It helps me to encourage others and to not be ashamed.
And God is persistent, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
He uses the people around us, but he is persistently after our heart. I can tell you that I have examples on both sides of that equation. Times that I felt like I was supposed to tell the truth. And it was not embraced. And I became like an enemy to my friend who was like, if you're going to keep telling me the truth about my behavior, I'm cutting you off because I'm not going to stop my behavior. And that's painful. And I will tell you that there have been times when my husband, whom I love, tells me the truth. And I'm like, oh, I don't like you right now. So I can say that that resounds as well. And I think that's an important note to take from Galatians because that's the struggle that Paul's feeling. He's like, hey guys, you loved me so much. You would have taken out your own eyes for me. You took such good care of me. You were my people and I was your people. And now because I'm telling you this and you don't like what I'm saying, is it possible that I'm still the Paul you love and who loves you and that actually it's just not, you don't like what I'm saying? That's so relatable.
Well, it is relatable because I think it's also when people know you're Christian and they'll make those little comments about, oh, you're doing that Jesus thing.
Yeah. Yes, and I am.
And you almost want to get offended. And when I was new in my faith, I did. But now I know that it's not me. It's their own. And I just think it's, you know, opportunity to just pray, but not try to convince. It's, I don't have to convince. And I do not have to defend God.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just, and I, and I, you know, even writing in my blog, people are like, oh, you write that Jesus blog? What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I do. I'll get you a t-shirt. Yeah. I write that Jesus blog.
Right. Right.
Deal with it. Yeah.
So I think people are, and people who don't know are afraid.
Well, and honestly, I think that the truth cuts. And so what do you want? Do you want to embrace the painful cutting that the truth is doing? I mean, Jesus said in John 15, any branch that does not bear fruit, mm-hmm. my Father cuts away, but every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it more fruitful. Both of those things hurt. And so do you want to embrace that pain, or do you just want to reject it and the person who's delivering it? It's just very relatable. Mm-hmm. I had to mention it because I just never would ever want to sit around this table and have us walk away feeling like this is old and we can't relate, because it's so right now. Okay, so let's hit it. The culmination of what I think the message of Galatians is. What does Paul say in Galatians 5, verse 1?
Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Okay. Do you see how everything he said till then builds to that? Mm-hmm. We talked about the law. Then he went into that slavery analogy more deeply in chapter 4. But everything has been building to that. So we can talk about what slavery looks like, what the burden looks like, what freedom looks like. Let's do that. First, let's rephrase.
Yeah. Mine says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law.
Good. Nice rephrasing. Mm-hmm. Better than I could have done. That's why they're the Bible translators.
Mm-hmm.
What version do you have?
Very similar to Marilyn's.
How do you read that? What do you hear when he says that? What are the words that stick out to you? And what is the message of that?
Now make sure you stay free. It's very cut and dry. This is it. Now I'm giving you this gift. Keep it. Accept it.
Yeah.
Run with it.
Do you remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in the desert and they were saying, it would have been better if we had stayed in slavery. You've brought us out to the desert to die. When you read that in isolation, you're like, what a bunch of idiots. Here God had shown himself through parting of water, miracles of frogs and locusts and plagues, and then the parting of the Red Sea. And then this was already at a point where he was showing himself in a pillar of day, cloud by day, fire by night. How could they possibly say, this stinks, we'd rather go back and be slaves? And you can judge that, or you can identify with it, because it's the familiar. It's the known versus the unknown. And the known, as yucky as it might be, it's known. And you have expectations, and you know how to operate in that environment. I have a friend who's going through a divorce, and she's having a great pain, of course. And I believe that she would agree that for a while she knew this was probably what should be done, but she stayed because it was the known versus the unknown. And it's terrible, and she's scared, and I'm scared with her, but God is in it. And I know that sounds crazy to say that God is in the middle of a divorce, but God's everywhere, mm-hmm. and sometimes divorce happens, and he does allow for divorce in the Bible for certain circumstances. We wish that it still wouldn't happen, but it does. And even when those circumstances presented themselves to her, she still stayed because it was known. And on the one hand, I remember her saying to me, oh, now I have my ticket. Now I know that God is saying, this is one of the rules that I've allowed for divorce. And she felt like, okay, now I know. Now I can leave. She still was afraid to leave. And you know what? Not just afraid. God bless her. She didn't leave because she had love for him and she wanted him to come around. But it reminds me of the known versus the unknown. And I know, you know, I can't possibly say whether it was right or wrong or how long she stayed or when it was time to go, because I didn't live in that house, but it does make me think of that. And so that can be a exemplified in a lot of different circumstances. Corporately, you know, you can have a church, let's say, for example, that's thinking about changing their denomination because they feel that the denomination that they're currently in is not centered on Jesus Christ the way it should be. And it becomes the known versus the unknown. Well, but this is what we've always done. This is how we've always done it. There's comfort in the known, even if it's not right. It's comfortable. So stay free. It's hard. It sounds like, yeah, of course you would want to do that, but it's hard. That's all I'm saying. Like when you first, I don't know about you guys, but when I first had my salvation experience, I didn't snap my fingers and change all my friends and change all my environments and change all the ways and the things and the habits. And it was easy for me to fall back into those friendships and habits. And like it's taking, been a Christian for a long time. I can't even say it has taken. It's taking a long time for me to shake all of that off. So it's hard to stay free. It is hard to stay free. You guys want to say more about that? Okay, so let's just really quickly say again, what is Paul talking about specifically in this book when he's talking about burdened by a yoke of slavery? What's the most prevalent thing in Galatians that he's battling down?
Mosaic law and circumcision.
Yes, thank you. If we consider, so this is where we're going to start making it really personal. If we consider what Christ has freed us from, and this is, I would like you to make it personal. Consider what Christ has freed you from. It's different for everybody. Think about your gratitude. And if you feel comfortable sharing some of the ways you have experienced freedom in Christ, and then we're going to talk about what he frees us to. So we're talking about what he has freed us from. And then in a few minutes, we'll talk about what he frees us to. Because I think that's an important holistic view of 5:1, freedom in Christ. Stay free. Don't be burdened again. See how it's like twofold? Stay in the freedom. Desert the slavery. Leave the slavery. So you have to kind of understand what the sphere of freedom looks like and what the sphere of slavery looks like. Okay, so who can start talking about, this is personal, what has Christ, freedom in Christ, look like for you?
I'm not good enough to earn God's love. And the freedom is, I don't have to earn God's love. God loves me as I am, and he has made a way for me to be acceptable to a holy God.
Mm.
Thanks
so
be to God.
Yeah, amen. So your freedom in Christ was from?
Freedom from guilt and sin.
Mm-hmm. And feeling unworthy.
Right.
And it was freedom to
forgiveness and acceptance.
And enjoying the relationship. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Any other things?
That's really sums it up because it takes you, for me, it's from the doing what's wrong to desiring to do what is God's.
So put a finer point on that. Because sin is fun. I mean, let's just be transparent here. So it can feel good for a time.
Mm-hmm.
So you said freedom from wanting to do what's wrong.
Or what is evil in the eyes of God to, I guess, bearing his fruit to doing his, having him in me and live throughout me.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, say, it's from being selfish, I give that up to go and serve.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my gifts is to serve, and I love to serve. I find such joy in serve. I actually hate when I can't serve. I hate when I'm being held back. And not because of God, but because of other things that go on. So for me, that giving up self to serve others for him is very freeing for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's so funny because I don't know if you saw me smile when you said to stop being selfish, because and I think really there's a foundational commonality that freedom in Christ is freedom from self, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just foundational. Pride.
Well, you die to self.
Yeah.
It goes
every day.
All to that.
Yeah. Every day, though.
Right.
Every minute.
Every second. Right.
Yeah. So that's the freedom that I experience over and over again. Like, first, this freedom from the mess I've made. So that's self. The mess I've made of myself and my life, which was very real to me in my salvation experience. I know not everybody has that lightning bolt 180, but I did. And so that was very acute to me that I needed to be freed from my own devices, my own ways, because they were not working out at all, even though I thought they were. And as my spiritual walk moves forward, it's a consistent releasing from self focus to Christ focus, from me focus to God focus.
And I feel like we can also give up the worry. So it's freedom from worry, mm-hmm. or anxiety, because mm-hmm. you can trust in God and know that He has it all taken care of. And so it's one of those things I work really hard on with one of my children. It's his anxieties, because he's always like, oh my gosh, what if I don't do this? I'm like, you know, you prepare yourself, you do everything you can. I said, and then the rest is up to God, you know, and you've got to just put forth what you have learned and trust that what you have learned mm-hmm. is enough and is sufficient, and not hold on to that worry, because
that's a good one.
It's a negative. And yeah. he bawls
yeah.
with anxiety, and it breaks my heart, as you know, and I'm like, we don't worry in this house. We pray. So we will pray. Will you pray with me, Mom? Of course I will pray with you. And it is a gift in that way, to teach them to turn to God
yeah.
in those times.
That's an interesting expression of 5-1, because he knows,
mm-hmm.
he knows the truth.
Right.
And yet
he's still gripped by it.
This mm-hmm. yoke of slavery, this anxiety, calls him back again and again and again. And that's actually true for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is this already not yet thing with salvation. So yes, we had the moment of experiencing salvation, but then we still need it. We need mm-hmm. to be saved on like a moment by moment basis. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is a great example. I feel like a bad mom for not thinking of it, because one of my kids has anxiety too. And that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard. And you know what? Let's just say that each of us has our own personal battles. There's no judgment here for what happens when you find yourself back in that space. Sometimes we put ourselves back there. I'm not going to lie, you know, right. And that's stupid. Mm. You shouldn't do that. But sometimes something is so deep down in us, it's really hard to shake that off. And that could be a lifetime
right.
battle for him. But it's exactly what Paul's saying. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He wants us to live in a way that experiences true freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, have we ever really even experienced true freedom? Have you had a moment where you're just like, oh, freedom?
It's very childlike in the sense of preteen. And I think it's glimpsing
mm-hmm.
if you do get it as an adult. And it's probably, for me, it's through the eyes of a child that
yeah.
I get that moment of freedom, because it's, I have a picture of my son with his new puppy, and he has such
joy.
Oh, and it's like coming through in the photo that my other son took of him. And the beauty of that is so precious.
Unadulterated.
It is. And yeah. he is uninhibited, and he is adorable and filled with the presence of God, is what I see.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, it's one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, just it's captured. So as an adult, it is harder to have that
yeah.
freedom of everything.
Yeah.
We're so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not quite ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. Please consider prayerfully to help us financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends. You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. And we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of Galatians. See you next time on Study with Friends.